Philippians chapter 1, for our scripture reading. Decided to begin our reading at verse 9, so we'll read verse 9 to the end of the chapter. Philippians 1, verse 9. This I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather under the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then, notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also, Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I wot not, for I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for His sake, having the same conflict which ye saw in me and now here to be in me. The text for this evening is verse 21. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. This text, beloved, does nothing less for us than teach us the meaning of life, the meaning of life for the believer, for the child of God. It answers the questions: does life have meaning? Does life have value? What's the point of life? Is there one? And if there is, what is it? But the text also answers questions about death. questions that we may raise. Is death as terrible as I feel it to be, or as I sense it may be? Do I have reason to be afraid of death? Is there some good in it? What is that reality that we call death? What happens at death for me, a child of God? The text speaks specifically about these things for the believer. Only by its silence does it speak about the unbeliever. But directly, specifically, the text is concerned about the answers to these questions for the child of God. But it does not spell out these answers in detail. The text is not a long one. The text is not composed of many words, of complicated phrases, of long and involved thought, spelling out all the details, ins and outs, of the meaning of life and the reality of death. But rather, the text gets at the heart of these subjects, the essence of life. That's what it deals with, the essence of life and the essence of death for the child of God. It does so through the words, the personal declaration of the Apostle Paul, which also we take as our own declaration, as our own confession with regard to life and death. We consider the text then, as we look at these words of the Apostle under the inspiration of the Spirit, consider the text under the theme, to live Christ, to die gain. First of all, we look at an essential declaration. Secondly, a personal confession, And thirdly, a genuine assertion. To me, to live is Christ. Such a simple statement, and yet so very, very profound. That statement is all comprehensive. As the Apostle looks at everything that matters about his life, all that which gives his life value, looks at it all, he weighs it all out, he considers everything, and he says it all comes down to one thing, really one person, Christ. That's the heart of everything in my life. That's the essence of everything worthwhile to the believer. For in Christ, first of all, I am alive. I am alive spiritually. Because of Christ, I live with true, everlasting, spiritual life. In Christ, I have been chosen by God eternally. God did not choose us apart from Christ. God chose us in Christ already eternally in His counsel. By Christ, my sins have been atoned for. I have been redeemed by Christ. I have been made a member of God's covenant by Christ. Been made a citizen of God's kingdom by Christ, in Christ alone. In fact, through Christ, because I have been elected in Christ, because Christ has atoned for me and redeemed me, because Christ has brought me into His covenant and into God's kingdom, because of that, all is blessing for me through Christ. By nature, apart from Christ, all would be curse unto me. But in Christ, all is blessing to me. To live with God's blessing as a member of His covenant is on account of Christ. But not only that, as the apostle mean, added to that is the fact that the most blessed thing in life for me, all the days of my existence, and measuring out and looking at everything that I have experienced in all of my life as a child of God, the most blessed thing for me in all of my life is fellowship with Christ. That's the truth. That's the reality for the believer. Christ fellowships with me. And because He fellowships with me, I fellowship with Him. He tells me about wonderful things, amazing things, things which I could not believe, I would not believe, except that He tells me about them. Heavenly things. Teaches me the secret of the Lord. As a member of God's covenant taken unto God in that covenant, Christ Himself comes to me and opens to me and reveals to me secret things that the Lord speaks only to His beloved ones. Christ leads me, takes me by the hand, speaks to me reassurances, and leads me into the very temple of the Almighty Himself, so that I stand before Him and commune and fellowship with Him, and worship Him in His temple by faith. Christ takes me into the house of my Father by faith. So again, I can be with my Heavenly Father. There He tells me, not now yet in heaven, but upon earth in the midst of my earthly life, dwelling by faith spiritually in the temple of God and in the house of my Father. There Christ tells me of the remission of my sin, which He has procured for me, which He has worked out for me and completed for me. Tells me about His own righteousness. How perfectly without fault, without spot is that righteousness. How absolutely perfectly in accord and harmony with the law of God His righteousness is. And then He says to me, that righteousness which is mine, I have given to you. That's yours. That's your righteousness now as my gift. Cover your unrighteousness. You have mine. My righteousness. Tells me about God's glorious works of salvation and love for His people. Works of the past. Great works such as the worldwide flood. And since Christ tells me, I believe it. He tells me about the works of God in the present. Tells me through His Word what God is doing. He tells me about the works of God, the glorious saving works of God that will occur in the future so that I know, at least in outline, I know what the future will hold. To live, to truly live, is to know Christ. And yet more, as Christ fellowships with me, that fellowship has an effect upon me. As my Savior Jesus Christ comes to me and speaks with me more and more, reveals Himself and reveals my God unto me, He changes me. So that I become like unto Him. I become one with Him through that fellowship. On account of that living bond that He's established with me between myself and Him in my heart, the bond of faith. and on account of that work of regeneration which He's worked in me, but through the fellowship that He has with me, He makes me become one with Him. I am filled with Him. Through His fellowship with me, I more and more, by His power and by His grace, I put on the mind of Christ, so that my thinking becomes more and more in harmony with His thinking. He in me, and I in Him, to live, to truly live, is to be one with Christ. But He fellowships with me, makes me one with Him, makes me have His mind, makes me become more like Him, so that He might work through me, so that as He works through me, I might serve Him. That too is what the apostle means when he says, to live is Christ. To live is to serve Christ. That's the purpose of my life. My life is not pointless. My life is not a simple indulgence in the things of this world, but my life has a goal. It has the purpose of serving Christ. The Christ who has saved me. The Christ in whom I am eternally elected. The Christ who has redeemed me. The Christ who has brought me into His covenant. The Christ who speaks with me. Makes me one with Himself. That Christ I am privileged to serve. To live is to serve Christ. Certainly for the child of God, that is a broad, broad statement. It doesn't mean simply on the Lord's Day or simply in holy activity, but for us as God's people to say to live is to serve Christ means I serve Christ in every situation of my life and in every relationship in my life. That's the heart of the whole thing. That's the essence of my whole life. That's the meaning and purpose of everything. To me, well, that doesn't mean that the child of God says, well, if to live is to serve Christ, then I must be busy about that work and neglect my wife or my husband or those others whom God has put into my life and put me in relationship with. That's not what the Apostle Paul means either. He served Christ. He delighted to serve Christ. It was the whole purpose of his life to serve Christ. But he did so by serving those whom God had placed before him. And so we too need not feel guilty, must not feel guilty when we love our spouse, our husband, our wife, our children, our parents, as well as loving Christ. So long as my love for my spouse, my children, my parents is as service to Christ, then I can say, and then I live, the confession here before us, to live is Christ. And yet still, to live is to magnify Christ too, by that serving of Him. To set Him out as great and glorious before others, that others may see Him as lifted up and magnified and glorious. The Apostle Paul also speaks of that in the very context of our text. Certainly what he has in mind when he says to me, to live is Christ. The verse just immediately preceding our text, he says, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also, Christ shall be magnified in my body, meaning in my existence within this natural body yet. Christ shall be magnified either by life or by death, either by my serving Him in this life or by what he thought could be a possibility, a martyr's death, as here he was in prison. Whether by my life or by my death, to me to live is to magnify, to glorify my Savior, Jesus Christ. Apostle Paul, in all of that, essentially says, let's look at the center, the essence of life. Certainly, it's true, we recognize it as well in our earthly existence. Many things surround that center. At the center of life is Christ. All kinds of things swirl about that center. But they can come and they can go. They can be added to my existence, my life. They can be taken away. And still I have the essential thing. Still I have Christ. To me, to live is Christ. And because that's so, then to die is gain. That's flat out contradictory to our experience. So too was the previous statement, to live is Christ. But perhaps more obviously, this one contradicts our experience. To die is gain. Death seems to be loss. That's how often we speak of it. We have lost so-and-so. But they have lost their life. In death, from a certain point of view, all is lost. Earthly ties, earthly connections, one's place, one's calling in the midst of this world, even one's body is lost, at least for a time, through death. But what's not lost is Christ. And when we have already said at the center of life, to live is Christ, then really, have I lost anything in death when I yet have Christ through death? But it's better than that. Death is not only continuing to maintain fellowship with Christ and continuing to have Christ, to live unto Christ, but in death, rather, I gain more of Him. The Apostle speaks of that very plainly in verse 23. That's his meaning. To die is gain, he says in verse 21. Then verse 23, he says, I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. There he speaks of what he means when he says death is gain. He says, if I die, I go to be with Christ, which is far better than continuing in life here. Far better even than living with Christ and unto Christ here in this world is death, for in death I have more of all that I love. I have more of the central essence of what it means to be blessed. I have more of Christ. That's what death is. It's being brought closer to Christ. Being given more intimate fellowship with Christ. our Savior. He's there in life. He's with us here in this earthly life. Christ is here. He's with us. I've been speaking of that. But the reality is, isn't it? There's always this veil. He's there. But I always, as it were, feel around for Him as it were in the dark. There's always this veil. There's always that there between us. Something gets in the way. Or I have Him, He's close to me, and so quickly it is as if He slips out of my grasp and I seek for Him again. That's because of my sin. It's because of our sinful nature, fundamentally. That's why that fellowship with Christ is what it is here in this life, full of weakness, full of darkness. In this life, I have Him, but I see Him through a glass, through a mirror, darkly, a foggy mirror, if you will. I have Him, I can communicate with Him, He fellowships with me, but only a little. In death, that mirror is taken away and I see Him as He is, and I know Him even as I am known. I see Him face to face. That's because, beloved, through death, all that death in me that stands in my way and impedes my ability to fellowship with Christ and serve Him as I would, all that death in me dies through death. And I'm free of that sinful nature that always plagued me, disrupted my enjoyment of Christ, and my service of Christ. And free of sin and free of that fellowship impeding sinful nature, I am drawn up to be with Christ. A far fuller sense of the word, which is far better to live as Christ, but to die for the believer, that's gain. Immeasurable. At this point, yet unimaginable, how full it is, unimaginable gain. That's the believer's declaration and confession. Is that your confession, beloved? Personally, do you say that? Paul says it as a personal confession. He says, to me, he's not ashamed, he's not afraid to open up his heart to us and show us what's really in there. He says here, this is the thing that to me is central in all of my life, and this to me is how I view death. To me, personally, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. That kind of confession, that kind of personal confession, beloved, is only made by faith. Is only a confession made by faith. Apart from faith. Those who have no faith speak quite differently. The unbeliever, the natural man, without grace, without the gift of faith, says, life. Life is me. To me, to live is me. Everything must be about me. What I enjoy is when everything serves me and everything goes well for me, and when I am lifted up and when men speak highly of me. When my pleasure is gratified. And my lusts are satisfied. That's life. That's living. That's the essence of my existence and the purpose of my whole life. Life to me is this world. That's what the unbeliever says. Not Christ. Don't speak of Him. Life to me is this world. Give me this world. Getting as much of this world as I can. Taking as much of this world unto myself. Consuming upon myself all that this world has to offer. That's life. And if you deprive me of those things, you deprive me of this world and of the good things and pleasures of this world. Insofar as you do that, you've taken life away from me. Taken real living away from me. To live is, to put it another way, the unbeliever says, to live is to be surrounded with friends, to have the people of this world. People, that's what matters. Men, friendship. Love of others, meaning all others again serving me, that's life. That's what I desire. And death, that's a total loss. Death as it really is, if the unbeliever ever for a moment allows himself to recognize what death really is for him, he would say, then death is a total loss for me. Ordinarily, he convinces himself of something other. Says death is not that. Death is this or that. He creates fairy tales for himself and then he buys into his own lies and deceptions. Believes his own foolish thoughts. But the reality is, for the unbeliever, death is complete, utter, and total loss of all that life was, all that he lived for. Death for him is no longer any enjoyment and satisfaction of serving himself, or enjoying and sucking the nectar out of this world. No longer does he have those whom he longed to have relationship with, not in death. All for him is lost. It's only for the one who has faith that he has Christ in this life. And life for him is Christ, and death is gain. And it's only by faith that he sees that and makes that confession. And that faith, my faith, you know, reminded that faith is a gift of God. Faith, beloved, that we have that enables us to say and works in us to say to me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. That faith isn't something I have made within me. That faith is not something you have manufactured within yourself. It's not, as many would teach it, all men stand basically on a level foundation or the same footing. And God offers all of this to everyone, and any man, whoever he will, has the ability to believe. He just has to make that choice, make that wise decision. And then he can make this confession, but rather faith is a gift of God given only to His elect. He's chosen an eternity in Christ. And that faith makes one aware of the fact that Christ is the essence of life. And Christ is also the essence of death for the believer, so that death is a gain. So that believer confesses that then also personally. Mentioned it before, sure we'll mention it other times in the future, can't avoid it in connection with this text. Lord's Day 7, question and answer 21, which talks about true faith. What is true faith? True faith is not only a certain knowledge whereby I hold for truth all that God has revealed to us in His Word, but also an assured confidence. The Holy Ghost works by the gospel in my heart that not only to others, but to me also. To me also, remission of sin, everlasting righteousness and salvation are freely given of God, merely of grace, only for the sake of Christ's merits, not only to others, but to me also. To me, to live is Christ, to die is gain. That's the believer's confession. That's the confession we make by God's gift of faith given to us through Christ. You say that, beloved. As a believing child of God, to me, to live essentially, principally, in the center of my heart, it is true to me to live is Christ. It's all that matters all of my life. To die, that's not loss. That's gain. The greatest gain that I could have. Blessed life, then, it is for the believing child of God. Blessed death, even, for the believing child of God, known by faith, given by God, is a gift of grace. Believe it. Say it. Confess it. Live it. To live is Christ. To die is gain. Be sure, beloved, that as you say that with the Apostle Paul, what you say is a genuine statement. You make a genuine assertion as you say, to live is Christ, to die is gain. It's easily said. Very easily said. Any little child can memorize the verse and say it, to live is Christ, to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. It's frequently asserted by those outside of the church who we wonder why they would even care to say it, those within the church. But it's rarely genuine as it's asserted, rarely lived as a reality in one's life. For Paul, it was genuine. What he said, he truly meant. Sincerely, he meant. He was in prison at the time that he wrote this. He was in prison because to him, to live was Christ. Christ was everything to him. Fellowship with Christ was everything to him. Serving Christ, in whatever way Christ called him to serve him, that was everything to him. And so he lived to Christ, which landed him in prison, in bonds. In prison, the Apostle Paul says, never mind that. Never mind those bonds, this prison. I rejoice. Rejoice, verse 18. Notwithstanding, every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. From prison, where everything more or less was taken away from him except his life and the heart of his life, Christ. From prison, he could look out and he could see Christ being magnified through the preaching of the gospel, which continued to carry on. And he said, in that I rejoice, for to me to live is Christ. He also says, verse 20, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also, Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. He said it, he meant it, he lived it to the very end. It didn't matter to him whether he lived or died, so long as Christ was magnified. To live is Christ, to him, and to die was gain. To him, that was, for him, a genuine, genuine statement. Genuine, and yet not perfect. Apostle Paul speaks again very candidly of himself in Romans chapter 7, and in speaking of himself, speaks of all of God's people. He says, I see another law warring in my members, contrary to that law that says to me to live as Christ and to die as gain. I see another law, an old nature within me, so that in my flesh I serve the law of sin, which is contradictory to serving Christ. With my flesh, my old nature, out of that sinful nature, I serve the law of sin. But with the mind, I serve the law of God. Meaning to say, in me yet there is much sin. In me yet there is much that does not say to me to live as Christ. That in fact says to me to live is me and is this world. And that views death as loss. There is much of that within me yet. But from the center, the principle, the grace-worked principle of new life within me, from my new man, from my new heart, I say, and I mean genuinely, to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. That confession is imperfect in us too, isn't it? Haven't you felt that with me as we've heard the Word of God explained tonight? To me, to live is Christ, to die is gain. Yes. Yes, that's true. But there's so much other yet in me. So much of me, there's so much of this world, there's so much of fear of death. There's so much of saying, yes, I know death is gain, but I really don't care to have that gain right now. I don't care to die. To me, to live is Christ, and yet I enjoy these things too that have nothing to do with Christ and that contradict my service of Christ. Or at least, I find them constantly popping up into my mind and into my life. Let us say yet with the Apostle Paul, confidently, not on the basis of our own work, but on the basis of the work of Jesus Christ within us, from the inner man, I genuinely do say, to me to live is Christ, to die is gain. And that's true too, genuinely seen in my life. Not perfectly by any means. But I see the beginning of that confession lived out in my life. The choices I make, the way that I live, the thoughts that I have, the friends that I keep, reveals that to me to live is Christ. The commitments I have, the determination that God has worked in my heart, the confidence, the peace, the lack of real fear with regard to death testifies to the genuine work of God in me, that to me death indeed is gain. And I want to grow in making that essential declaration that too I find within me, you find within you as God's people. Say, I can say it in part to me to live as Christ, to die as gain, but oh, how I long to grow in genuinely stating that as the statement of my whole life, to me to live as Christ, to die is gain. Then I pray. Humbly I come to the Lord my God, fall upon my knees and pray, Lord, give me more of Thy Son. Lead me more into an understanding, a love of Him, a relationship with Him, fellowship with Him, and service of Him. Fill me with Him so that I am one with Him, so that He works through me and performs His work in my life, so that I serve Him and magnify Him. Father, work that in me, so that life to me, indeed, more and more, is Christ. Pray that, beloved. Pray that tonight. It's not a suggestion. Pray that always. And turn to the Word of God. For there you find Christ. There you find God's answer to your prayer. There God gives you that Christ and fills you with Christ and strengthens you with Christ so that you more readily can serve Jesus Christ, your Savior. And He wipes away the fears of death. And He gives you a clear understanding of what death is so that you can eagerly say, I look forward to that day when it's God's time, whatever that is, I am ready. For death to me is gain. The Word of God teaches me so. My Savior, through that Word, has told me. Grow in properly understanding, beloved, the meaning of life and the blessed reality of death as God has changed it by His grace for us. Confess it. Confess it personally to me. To live is Christ. To die is gain. Thank God, by His grace, that statement is true with regard to you. Amen. Father, we thank Thee for Thy Word. We thank Thee for Thy Son, Jesus Christ, who truly is to us everything. Everything in this life. And the life to come. And having Him, we lack nothing at all. Having Him, we have no want, no unsatisfied need. We have everything, having Christ. Cleanse us, Father, from our imperfection and our sin, our earthly mindedness, our selfishness. And help us more and more to live according to our confession, that to live is Christ, and to live with the confidence that when we die, we've lost not a thing, but gained immeasurably through that marvelous work of Thy deliverance of us from this sinful world and our sinful old nature, delivering us into perfection, where we see Thee and Thy Son, Jesus Christ, face to face. We pray, Father, cause us to grow in the confidence, too, that Thou hast worked this in us. And it's all true for us now and forever. In Jesus' name we pray this. Amen.